Welcome to episode 2 of the Fight Night Picks podcast. Let's let that beat drop. Episode number 2, did not miss the beat drop. So welcome to Fight Night Picks podcast, episode 2. If you're new to the podcast, our focus is on combat sports. This week we're going to be talking about the UFC, Bellator, ONE Championship, ACB. We also cover WBO, WBC, IBA boxing, all the different boxing leagues, as well as Glory Kickboxing. You know, different Muay Thai, different grappling promotions, jiu-jitsu as well. So focus is going to be on more coverage of the lesser-known leagues, bringing you the most exciting and intriguing fights possible across the globe. And then we're also going to focus on local coverage. So we're located in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada. There's a few different promotions in the province. And then we're also going to focus on the Maritimes as a whole. So New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island, and then as well the different New England combat leagues. So we'll jump right into it. Some events from this past week. Last Friday night, we had Bellator 197, Michael Chandler versus Brandon Gertz. Originally supposed to be Chandler versus Brent Primus, a rematch for the lightweight title. In the first fight, Chandler was injured. He kind of seemed to roll his ankle, and I guess he pinched a nerve and had no sensation in that foot. So it ended up being a doctor's stoppage, and Primus won the title. Primus, about a month and a half ago, had to pull out due to injury. So Brandon Gertz was named as his replacement. It ended up being a good fight. If you look at Brandon Gertz's record, he's a really good fighter. Chandler was able to win by first round arm triangle. He choked Gertz unconscious, actually. And in the scramble to wrestle Gertz down to the ground, he ended up separating Gertz's shoulder as well. So this fight really will set up a rematch between Primus when he's healthy. And it'll be an exciting fight. I mean, Primus, undefeated fighter. And definitely a loaded lightweight division in Bellator, as well as it is in the UFC. Before that, our co-main was AJ McKee versus Justin Lawrence. And an impressive unanimous decision win for McKee. He looked really good. His footwork was great. He switched stance as well. One thing I really noticed about McKee was that his head movement was good, but it was his core movement. He really dodged a lot of Lawrence's strikes. And he looked amazing. I mean, his record stands at 11-0 now. And after the fight, he called out James Gallagher and kind of mocked him for being injured. I know Gallagher had to pull out of his last two fights due to injury. So it should be interesting. McKee's, you know, top prospect, 11-0. James Gallagher, they're really trying to push him, trains out of SBG in Ireland. So it'd be a really good fight for Bellator, and there'd be a lot of hype behind it. Before the McKee fight, we had Logan Storley and Joaquin Buckley, and it was a really exciting wrestling-type match almost. Both of them fought really well. You had two top welterweight prospects. Storley won the unanimous decision, pushed his record to 8-0. He trains with Henry Hoof at Hard Knocks 365, so it's really good to have that background of wrestling to kind of complement what he's working on now, where he's striking. With Hard Knocks 365. And I mean, if you look at his record, he's got 6 knockout wins as well. So definitely another top prospect. I mean, Bellator is loaded with younger guys in all their different weight classes, good records, and they make for really exciting fights. I mean, definitely don't sleep on a Bellator card. If it's on, you know, if it's on a Saturday night and it's competing with the UFC, which happens every now and again, it's definitely worth your while to click channels and have a look at what Bellator has to offer. Another couple fights on the card. We had Baby Slice, Kevin Ferguson Jr., against Devin Brock. If you didn't know who Devin Brock was, in his first fight, he fought Hoist Gracie's son, and he won. So that was you know, a little feather in his cap. Pretty impressive to have. But Baby Slice knocked down Brock with a hard right hand, and then he had the skills to finish the fight on the ground at 34 seconds in the first round. It was really impressive to get the win that quick. He's 3-1 now professionally, and I mean, he seems to have a full skill set. He's good on his feet, good footwork, his striking's dynamic. But at the same time, when he knocked down Brock, he could have just gone down to the mat and continued, looked for a TKO finish. But he had the wherewithal to go for the rear naked and locked the choke in and got the win 34 seconds in. So I mean, that's another one of those, you know, marquee top prospect guys that Bellator has that, you know, some people might not be looking for. Of course, he's Kimbo Slice's son, so he's going to be a big deal. But, you know, you could have clicked channels and missed the fight. I mean, it was over pretty quick, so really impressive fight. And then there were another couple of undercard fights just to make note of. We had Juliana Velasquez. She was taking on Rebecca Ruth, and she actually finished the fight by KO by body kick, kicked straight into the abdomen, almost like a crane kick to the abdomen with 19 seconds of the first or the third round. Sorry, it was a good fight overall. Really high level striking, but you know, it's not something you see every day. A kick like that ends up with a KO win. And then we also had Dominic Mezzada. I kind of talked about this fight there in the first episode. And he fought Josh Sampo, former UFC vet, 1-3 in his last four. Hadn't fought in a number of years, long layoff. But it ended up being a great fight. You know, those Bellator prelims, they don't televise them unless, you know, there's a breakup in the main card. They'll have them on TV, or somebody gets injured, you know, they'll bump one up. But if you go straight to their website, you can have a look at their prelims. There was a lot of really good wrestling. Really impressive scrambles by both. They were both able to capitalize on position. And it was an entertaining fight overall. Mezzada won the unanimous decision, but it was definitely a good fight for Sampo. And I heard that there was talk that it was a one-fight deal. But I'd really like to see Bellator keep Josh Sampo around. He definitely has something to offer for fight fans. And then on Saturday night, we had UFC on Fox 29 in Glendale. So there's a lot of talk and a lot of lead up to this fight. Dustin Poirier ended up winning by fourth round knockout of Justin Gaethje. And it was kind of surprising. After the fight, interviewing Justin Gaethje, told reporters that he has, quote, five fights. So you never really want to hear a fighter say that. You never know where his head's at going into a fight. If he knows that he has five left, is he going to put, is he going to have, you know, gas left in the tank? Is he going to put everything towards the next fight? So it's not really what you want to hear, but Justin Gaethje, he's a brawler. His last three fights in UFC have been, you know, fight of the night type fights, fight of the year one against Michael Johnson. So he's a really good fighter, really entertaining guy, top five, lightweight in the UFC, and a really impressive guy to watch. So I mean, with this win, a lot of people want to see Eddie Alvarez rematch with Poirier, but it could have title implications for Poirier. If you have a look at his record, I know Dana seemed to be kind of coy on whether or not Poirier would be able to fight straight for the title, but he did acknowledge that it could be a possibility. So I mean, that's something to watch, whether we see Poirier fight Alvarez and the winner of that fight goes straight up for a title fight, or Poirier gets a shot. But I mean, the lightweight division in the UFC is stacked, top to bottom, 1-15, and then some. There's a lot of good contenders in that top 10. You know, on any given day, one of those guys could fight for the title, and you never know what could happen. I mean, Khabib's a really good champion, but so's Tony Ferguson. I mean, he's definitely a contender. You know, Conor McGregor, it's a great division. And, you know, you watch some of those guys fight, and they're always exciting fights. So definitely something to keep an eye on. Co-main was Cowboy Oliveira against Carlos Condit. Oliveira was able to get the win by submission. Not a big surprise there. Condit's now 1-5 in his last six. And Oliveira, again, always has exciting fights. And he should be set to be ranked here. I was kind of surprised that he wasn't ranked going into the fight, fighting Condit, who's ranked 12. But you should see him crack that top 15 in the welterweight division. Some other fights of note on the card. On the main card, we had Israel Adesanya take on Marvin Vettori. Ended up being a split decision win for Adesanya. He had really good striking. You know, you look at his record, 13-0 with 12 TKO or KOs. Vittori's a tough guy, always pushing the pace, always coming forward. In this fight, we had Adesanya kind of push the pace a bit until the third round, when Vittori was able to get more and more takedowns. He didn't do a whole lot with the takedowns, didn't really advance position too much. but definitely wrestling was Adesanya's kryptonite in that fight. His defense was fairly good. One thing that he did well was when Vittori would go for a takedown, he'd arc his back and he'd push his toes into the mat, and he'd either get one or two underhooks. It was normally one. And then from that, he would transition against the cage and kind of push Vittori off him. His grappling was good. It's not, you know, top level, but it was pretty good. He did get taken down in that third round, but he was always able to get back up to his feet, which was really impressive, you know, facing a guy like Vittori, who normally pushes the pace, was a good ground game, got submission wins. So it was a positive for Adesanya for sure, and he's definitely a really exciting fighter to watch going forward. We also had on the main card Michelle Waterson fighting Courtney Casey. It was a split decision win for Waterson. Personally, I thought that Courtney Casey won. I thought that she landed more strikes. She was able to get out of harm's way for the most part, and she attempted quite a few submissions. The last submission that she had at the end of the third round, she had an armbar in, and it was tight. And I know if that round continued for another 10 seconds, it would have been a submission win for Casey. So kind of didn't agree with all the judges, of course, but you know, you never want a fight to go to the decision. But overall, it was a really good fight. And then some notable undercard fights. I mentioned last week in the first episode, Arjan Buller against Adam Vikšarek. So Vikšarek was able to get the omoplata win, which was really impressive. You know, you don't see a lot of omoplatas, and especially in the heavyweight division. It was a good fight. Buller was winning the fight for sure before the submission, but he kind of, I don't know if he got tired or what his plan was, but somehow Vikšarek was able to get the position and got the omoplata in, and once it was in, that fight was over. We also had a KO win by Gilbert Burns against Dan Moret, and you should definitely watch the replay. You know, he slinkied him. He knocked him out. It was a really clean knockout for Burns. You know, there was talk last week on Friday, he was a half a pound over. And then in his fight before that, it was called off because he was over the 11%, the 11% you're allowed to cut before the fight. So it was really good for Burns to get that knockout and kind of prove his worth in the UFC. We also had one other really good undercard fight. It was the last fight on the undercard. Antonio Carlos Jr. beating Tim Boach. Carlos Jr. has a really good submission game, able to lock that rear naked in there, and you never know, they're starting to talk about him as a top prospect or a top, I don't know, you know, guy that's kind of creeping his way up the rankings in the middleweight division. So definitely something to watch. And we also had on Saturday KSW 43 from Wrocław, Poland. Dricus du Plessis with the second round TKO win over 22-year-old prospect Roberto Soldic. Du Plessis is 24, Soldic 22. You know, two really, really exciting prospects as well. Du Plessis fought in his native South Africa, and he was a champ there, so good for him to win the belt at 170 in KSW. First round of the fight was really high-level wrestling. Both fighters looked really good. And then in the start of the second round, they kind of felt each other out with the striking. You know, they're trying to figure out levels and distances. And then all of a sudden, Du Plessis threw a strong left hook. It dropped Soldic. And then from there, got it to the ground and TKO finish. So really good fight. Then another interesting fight on the card. We had another title fight featuring former UFC. And his last fight was in Bellator. Heavyweight, F11, Phil DeFries, and he took on Michael Andrazik. DeFries was able to fend off Andrazik after being beaten on the feet, you know, the first, I want to say, 45 seconds of the first round. Andrazik looked really good. He was out striking. He got DeFries down, but I don't know if he didn't look at DeFries' record and the submissions on his record, but once they got the fight to the ground, he had top position. Somehow DeFries was able to get on top after that. He gained top position. And then from half guard, he was able to get the TKO win at 332 in the first round. So really impressive win by DeFries. If you look at his last four or five, a lot of wins. He's really looking good. And I mean, the guy's in his early 30s, so he's definitely a guy that's going to keep progressing and heavyweight champ of KSW right now. And it was a really good card as well. You know, KSW's really starting to push out good fighters, and they're not just Polish fighters. They're from all over right now. So really good event put on this weekend. So changing gears again, we're going to look at events coming up this week. I'm going to offer my picks on Friday, just in case any of the fights are dropped or changed. You never know what could happen during the course of a week. So that's why we're going to aim for a podcast either on Monday, Tuesday, and then also again on Friday to get you geared up for the weekend. So first off, for this weekend, we have UFC Fight Night Atlantic City, Lee versus Barboza. It's another lightweight fight that may or may not have title implications. But, you know, either fighter could be one win away from that title shot. It's such a stacked division, you never know. Barboza's coming off a decision loss to Khabib. He got mauled the entire fight, so it wasn't really a good fight for Barboza. Wasn't able to showcase his striking abilities. And in Kevin Lee's last fight, it was in October of last year, and it was a triangle loss to Tony Ferguson. So Ferguson and Khabib, you know, interim title holder for a while was Ferguson, and now Khabib's the undisputed lightweight champion. So they both fought top talent. They're both ranked highly, of course. I think that if Lee can wrestle Barboza down to the ground, try and avoid the knees, going for the takedowns, you know, Barboza's got that KO flying knee win, he could have a good chance at winning. Lee would. When Barboza fought Khabib in his last fight, Khabib was so successful in throwing different types of takedowns, changing levels well. His best move was using the ankle picks to get his takedowns, and they were so effective in winning the fight for sure. I mean, he kept the fight on the ground. I'm sure Barboza's trained his ground game as wrestling to face Lee, because Lee has such strong wrestling abilities. But I still think that Lee's going to be able to pull off the win, unless Barboza comes out of the chute and pushes Lee up against the fence. And then in backing up, he's able to throw something, you know, a spinning elbow, spinning back fist. Again, he's got so many tools in that tool belt. You never know what Barboza's going to do. But I really think Lee's going to be able to pull off the win so long as he's healthy. You know, in that Ferguson fight, he had the staph infection on his chest, and he had a hard time cutting weight. So hopefully in this fight, it'll be a better opportunity for Lee, and he'll be able to come off with a win. In our co-main event, we've got Frank Yeager against Cub Swanson. Both fighters are coming off of losses to Brian Ortega. You know, Ortega was able to get the KO win against Edgar, which many didn't see coming. And in his fight against Cub Swanson, he was able to win by guillotine. So both of these guys, Edgar and Swanson, they fought each other in 2014. And if you watch the fight, Edgar landed so many strikes compared to Swanson. I think it was like a 4-1 for Edgar versus Swanson, and he was able to come out on top with a neck crank win in the last 4 seconds of the fifth round. It was the main event in that on that card in 2014. If you look at Swanson's record, you know, he's a striker for sure. He comes in there and throws a lot of punches, not against Edgar in that fight that they had, mind you, but his last knockout or TKO win came in 2013 against Dennis Seaver. So you know, when I think of Cub Swanson, I think back to that Duho Choi fight, which was so exciting, showcased really great striking. But against a guy like Frankie, who has, you know, the full arsenal, and his fight against Yair, most people didn't see Frankie winning that fight. Yair being a top prospect and really good striker, you know, spinning wheel kicks, everything, axe kicks, everything. So Edgar was able to come off with a win against Yair, and I think that Edgar's gonna win this fight pretty handily. You know, he's coming off his first knockout of his career, and it's a pretty quick turnaround for him, but he should be able to get the win. I don't see it being like a Bisping when he lost his title to GSP and then he fought Kelvin Gastelum. You know, that was really short notice. That was like 3 weeks. This has been a little bit more than that, but you know, Frankie's a little bit younger, really durable. And again, first knockout loss, so he should be fine. and we should see a good co-main event fight. Another fight on that main card, we've got Thiago Santos against David Branch. Hopefully this fight's going to be able to propel Santos up and raise his stock enough that people kind of realize that he's one of those top guys in that 185 division. If you look at his record, his last four fights have been by TKO win. I was actually able to see him fight in Halifax last year, UFC Fight Night, Lewis and Brown, and he got the spinning wheel kick against Jack Marshman, and it was nuts. I mean, you could see from his stance that he was trying to line it up just right, and then finally he was able to just kind of throw it. Really exciting fighter. You know, he has some of those hardest kicks in the game, and it should be a really good fight. I mean, Branch is coming off that last loss against Luke Rockhold, where Rockhold was able to, you know, he withstanded David Branch. Branch threw a lot of good combos early. He had Rockhold up against the cage, and he hit him, you know, 5-6 times straight in square in the face. But Rockhold was finally able to come back out, took him to the ground, had him laid out flat, and got the TKO win. So I think that Santos is going to win the fight. I know I said I wouldn't give out too many predictions right now and I'd save them for Friday, but I think Santos, unless there's a weight cutting issue or the fight's called off, he should be able to get the win. Another fight on that main card is Brett Johns and Aljamain Sterling. Definitely really worth it to go have a look at Johns' record. The KO decision and submissions on the record for sure. He's 15-0, and in his last fight, he beat Joe Soto on the Ultimate Fighter Season 26 finale by calf slicer. So it's definitely not a submission that you see too often. And in Sterling's last fight, he was knocked out by Marlon Moraes by knee. It kind of slowed that train down a little bit, but I think the Funkmaster is going to have a good fight against Brett Johns. Ultimately, I think the 15-0 Johns is going to be able to get the win. He's a great grappler. He's got really good submission skills. And that, again, that's another good fight. You know, this card's stacked just like the last weekend's card was stacked in Glendale. So we're definitely in to see some really good fights. We've also got Jim Miller against Dan the Hangman Hooker. And it's another top lightweight fight. It's such a stacked division, whether it's in the UFC or in Bellator. Hooker was able to take the train off the tracks in his last fight against Mark Jacasey. That hype train was kind of derailed a bit. I was kind of with the odds makers on that fight. I figured that Jacasey was going to get the win. His striking was so good, you know, a type of death by a thousand cuts win, I thought, was what was going to happen. He was going to outpoint Hooker with his striking, throw some of those crazy karate type kicks. You know, he's a really exciting fighter to watch, but Hooker was able to get the guillotine win. He's fighting a Jim Miller who is a staple in his division. He's one of the better fighters, one of the more well-known fighters in the division, so it should be really exciting. I'm going to wait until Friday to give my prediction on that fight, but it's definitely a really good one to look at. A fight on the undercard that we have that's really impressive. 6-0 Aspen Ladd's going to take on Leslie Smith. You might know Ladd. She's got four TKO wins in the bantamweight division, looking to raise her stock against Smith. Smith's got two wins in a row. And in the fight before those two, she fought Cyborg, and it was a TKO win for Cyborg. So that was kind of Cyborg's coming out party to the UFC if people weren't really, didn't really know who she was. You know, it's kind of hard not to, but it was a good fight for Cyborg. And I think Smith's definitely learned, you know, two wins after that. And she's taking on 6-0 Ladd, who I think in this fight is going to be able to pull off the win again. You never know. But Ladd's definitely trending upward for sure in that bantamweight division. And it's a thin division in the UFC. You know, Invicta's got a lot of top talent in theirs. But the UFC definitely needs to raise some eyebrows with that. And I mean in a good way. They've got to get some more talent. You know, you're going to see Holly Holm fight Megan Anderson coming up here soon. So it will be a good division. They'll be able to round it out for sure. Changing gears a little bit more, like I said, with Fight Night Picks, we definitely want to focus on some lesser-known organizations or some organizations that you might not hear about, you know, in North America. So on Friday night in Manila, we've got ONE Championship Heroes of Honor. So what their spin is on this one, it's going to be a striking-only super series. It's a mixture of Muay Thai, kickboxing, and MMA fights. So it's pretty interesting, you know, with Bellator, what they do. they'll do Bellator MMA, and then afterwards they'll have Bellator kickboxing. And that's what most organizations will do if they have two. You'll see boxing and MMA separate. But one, what they're going to do this week is they're going to layer their fights. So it's not just going to be three MMA, two Muay Thai, and then a kickboxing final. They're going to have Muay Thai, MMA, kickboxing continue. So the prelims are live and free on ONE's Facebook and Twitter feeds. Our main event features Andrew Leon against Kevin Bellingham. He's 17-5. Leon's 8-3. I will make a prediction on this fight just because it's going to happen on Friday, and you never know when the podcast is going to be able to come out on Friday. So I'm going to take the man from Manila, Mr. Kevin. 17-5. You take a look at his record and you watch some of the tape. He's a dynamic striker. And you look at Leon's three losses, he could be susceptible to what Bellingham brings to the cage. So it's definitely going to be a good main event, and it's really going to be an interesting card. Definitely something I'm going to be watching on Friday and tweeting about for sure. So also on Friday, we have LFA 37 from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. 7-1 Sid Bice taking on 5-1 Michael Perez. It's a good card. It's got about half the fights that you would see on a regular, you know, UFC or Bellator event. You know, when you count main event, undercard, all that. But definitely something to watch on Friday night if you don't have a chance to grab ONE Championship Heroes of Honor. On Saturday, we have ACB 85 from Rimini, Italy. It's a great card. ACB really puts on good events, and they seem to have heavy hitters week after week. So main event's going to be Anthony Leon against Magomed Jinasov. Most interesting fight I find on the card is if you actually kind of rifle through it a little bit. There's a flyweight bout between Yoni Sherbatov, who's 7-0-1. He's taking on 9-2 Miguel Felipe Buenas da Silva. So Sherbatov fought against Eric Shelton on season 24 of The Ultimate Fighter. He lost by submission, but again, it was on The Ultimate Fighter. It was an exhibition bout, so it doesn't count towards his record. But he's got a really good record and a really stacked division for ACB, headed by champ Askar Askarov, 9-0. He's a big name for not just ACB, but for flyweight divisions everywhere, really. So it should be interesting. I've seen that he trains out of Laval, Quebec, so not too far away from us. But it should be a good fight, and it's on at 12 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Atlantic time. So if you don't want to ruin your Saturday and you don't have too much going on midday here in my side of the world, definitely an event to tune into. Like I said, they always bring good cards there. And then also this weekend, there's not too much in the way of boxing fights. Next weekend, we have Broner versus Vargas, and as well on that card, Gervonta Davis fights for the 130 title. So something to watch, and we'll definitely profile it coming up next week for sure. So my favorite segment on the show is to spotlight an up-and-coming fighter, whether it's a guy or gal, doesn't matter what organization. It could be MMA, it could be kickboxing, could be whatever, grappling tournament, you never know. So this week we're going to have a look into Ricardo Preissel, and he has an upcoming bout on Ryzen 10, May 6th. So Ryzen 10's main event, you have former UFC fighter Ian McCall. And it's a stacked card top to bottom. Ryzen always puts on good events. If you look at Preissel's record, he's 9-0. He's a heavyweight. Has 8 submission wins and 1 TKO. And if you look a little bit more into the submissions, he's got 2 heel hook wins. And in his last fight, he was somehow able to pull off a toehold win in a spare FC 55. And if you get a chance to look at that tape, it's really impressive. I know the only other toehold that I could think of that was pulled off in a major organization was Frank Mir against Tank Abbott in UFC 43. If you ever get a chance to watch that one, in the promo before the fight, Abbott said, quote, "I don't know anything about him. He's a pretty boy." And that exemplified Tank Abbott's style for sure. He was a brawler, a really big deal in the early days of the UFC. But fighting a guy with Frank Mir's jiu-jitsu skills, kind of out of his league, and I don't know if he could have really gotten ready for it. And it was impressive by Mir, but Preissel in this fight, you know, you watch the way that he was able to get that hold in there. He was looking for different types of locks and submissions, and it was really quick finish for him. So that's definitely something to have a look at. You know, he's fighting a guy who's 14-3, Ante Walking Trouble Dahlia. And Dahlia trains with the Crow Cup top team. His last fight was actually a loss to Mersin Tabora, but it was in 2015, so he hasn't fought in quite a while. If you pull up some of his tape, he's good on the feet. He's good at throwing high kicks, wheel kicks, you know, definitely a Crow Cup type fighter. He's got 7 submission wins, and if you go back and watch the tape in 2013 in FFC, he was able to get a north-south choke win. And in that fight, kind of similar to Preissel, if you watch it, it's a first-round finish by submission, but he went for all sorts. He went for heel hooks, toe holds, everything. And he dominated that fight. But like I said, he hasn't fought since 2015. And Preissel, you know, he was actually successfully able to get a toe hold win, 2 heel hook wins, 9-0. And he's fought more recently as well, where Dahlia's been out of the game for a bit. So I expect to see really electrifying jiu-jitsu by some good heavyweights, and it's not something that you see very often, heavyweights hooking up and having these great submission skills. So that just about does it for episode 2 of the Fight Night Picks podcast. A little bit shorter, where we're breaking it up and having 2 per week, but I'm sure in the coming weeks we're going to be able to add more content, have interviews and whatnot. So later on this week, like I said, episode 3 will come out on Friday, and I'll definitely give more insight into this weekend's fights, and I'll make my predictions. So we'll see you later on this week.